Thank you, Pastor, for having us here. Thank you, everybody. This is an awesome opportunity for me, and I'm very grateful for the time to be able to share with you about the grace of God. Really, there is nothing else that I can say that I have done to be where I am or to be have the privilege to be with you this morning to share with you, other than the fact the grace of God that touched me. I was not looking for Christ or Christianity. On the contrary, I was more looking at how can I hurt Christians, especially Christian Arabs. And I am ashamed that I taken part in persecute the church that Pastor Scott was talking about, like ICR and their work. Is so phenomenal and so appreciated for me and many of my people in the Middle East, especially in the Jericho area and in Jerusalem area. It is because of people like ICR that we are able to continue the work. God has called them to support and stand with the people working in the front line, if we want to call it. And so I'm so grateful to have the relationship that I have with ICR and the original founder, Richard Welbrandt. I never met him, but I met his mentor, person in Switzerland, an amazing man. He's almost a duplicate. They tell me, I've read his book, and Linus is like a copy of Richard. What I would like to share with you this morning is what God lays on my heart to share with you. The Word of God have given us so much to live by and to be part of. And as, is it possible to put this up? Thank you. As I have began to study the scripture when I was saved 23 years ago, and I'll be sharing hopefully part of my testimony, the power of the Word of God is so alive. It's such a living word, and I felt it the minute I touched that book. The minute this book was put right next to my thigh, as my friend, my mentor, Charlie, was trying to tell me who Jesus was and trying to convert me, to convince me that Jesus is the Son of God and He's God. And I naturally, as a Muslim, I rejected that idea. I said, forget it. I don't believe in this. This is a blasphemy. And I wanted to run. But Charlie was so loving and caring for me that he was willing to go further with me. And brought his Bible and set it right next to me. And it was so close to my thigh, I jumped away from it. You know, he's looking at that and what is... Why are you jumping like that? So I can't touch that. So why is just a piece of paper? And he was flipping the paper. I said, no. It's got the Word of God and the name of God in it. Why did I say that? Because when I really didn't believe that this word is a true word, because we believed as Muslims, this is a corrupted word and no more valid as the Word of God. But yet, when he put that Bible right next to my thigh, I jumped away. I felt the power in that word. I felt the power in that word. No one, not a Muslim imam or leader or a rabbi or a Hindu or a Buddhist can tell me that this is a dead word. That is a living word. But sometimes as humans, sometimes we forget, you know. I came to the word, for example, in Matthew 5. And I came to Matthew 5, 9. And I'm reading this and I'm saying, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I read that and I read it again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I jumped. I said, Lord. And I went on my knees and I was crying like a baby, saying, Lord, I want to be called a child of God. I want to be a peacemaker. Lord, help me. I want to be a peacemaker. Why was I crying and was so impacted? Because I have lived a bloody life. I've never seen peace in my life for 42 years of my life. I lived in trouble. I caused trouble. I never gave people peace. And so for me to be called a son of God or a child of God was impacting to me, and I so wanted that so much. And then I continued on to read. We go into Matthew, same chapter 5, 43. And the Lord is saying, it was said to you, the 43rd verse, it was said to you, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, listen to this, it was said to you, past. But I say to you, present and future. Love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. I jumped off my seat. I was sitting at my table studying. And I jumped off that seat and I screamed, no way! I will never love them. I know what the Lord was saying to me. He was saying to me to love the Jews, whom I passionately hated. For me, until that moment, it was a good Jew is a dead Jew. That's what I believe. Now Jesus is saying to me, it is written in red. Is it written in red in your Bible? It is written in red. I understood when it's written in red, that means it is said by the Lord himself. It's his own word. I understood from my mentor that when it's written in red, it's not really a choice. It's a command. Love your enemy and pray for you. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. In the 45th verse, it says that you may be child of your Father in heaven. He causes his Son to rise on the evil and on the good. And I'm reading all of that. And I'm thinking, no way. No way. Lord, what are you saying to me? What is it? Well, how can I love those people? They've taken my homeland. My father had a land there with orange farms and in Jaffa. And then they were taken away their homes. And we went to Gaza. And we were so refugees in Gaza. And then we were refugees in Saudi Arabia when I was born. How could I love them, Lord? How could I? I've been called homeless all of my life. I've been called a refugee all of my life. How could I, Lord? How could I? And after I got tired of talking, I was on my knees. I was so in pain in my heart. The Lord spoke to me so clearly, and He said, they have done more than that to me, but I still love them. That broke me. That broke me. I said, Lord, if you love them, I will love them too. Did I really mean it? I was so impacted because I heard Him in my ear. Did I really mean it, Lord? You know, when we say something, we better mean it. Because God is going to test us on that. And He sure did. He sure did. Just a couple of days later, I meet with a Jewish landlord. And when I do business with Jewish landlord, or with Jews, basically, in general, I am so aggressive. I want to take them for lunch before they take me for dinner. I was so, so strong. But with this man, things were different. This man was so at ease. I was at ease. Anything I asked, he gave me. After I finished the meeting, I left, and I'm just thinking, what is going on here? I'm not feeling this hatred I usually have in my heart. Where is this? Where is this? My brain is talking to my heart. My brain is saying, hey, wake up, heart. Where is that hatred you have for these people? And my heart is saying, it's no longer there. And my brain is saying, what happened? How? And my heart is saying, it's been cleansed by the same Jew you're worshiping now. Man, that was just revelation. For me, that was a revelation. I began to feel that actual love, the real love for Jewish people. And from that point on, that's what God has called us to do, is to bring peace and healing between Arabs and Jews. Was it that easy? Of course not. Was it challenging? Of course not. You see, friends, in Genesis, God created the earth and the heaven. And for 6 days He created, and every time He created something, He looked at it and He said, it is good. It is good. It is good. It is good. But He didn't say it was perfect. Did He? He didn't say it was perfect. He said it was good. And then He created man to start perfecting what He made good. But in many ways, we have made a mess out of it. Because why? Because we really don't understand the commands that God have in this word for us to live by. Karen and I, we made a decision to go to the Gaza Strip to help in the Gaza Strip. When God called me to go to Gaza, He spoke to me so clearly. I was in the Gaza Strip just wanting to see where I was born. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. Just wanted to see where I was born. And God gave me a way through the Israelis who were commanding the entry in and out of Gaza, and I was able to get them to talk. I was able to talk them and to let me to go into Gaza to see where I was born. That was a huge favor. So I'm standing there where I was born. Some of my relatives showed me where I was born, in a tent, basically, which is now a high school playground. And I'm looking at this, and then I hear that voice again in my ear saying, "It is time for you to return to your roots." I shook and I looked up to heaven and I said, "Lord, why Gaza? Why not Hawaii or a place like that? Who wants to go to Gaza?" I didn't want to go to Gaza, to be honest. This is my hometown. It's true where I was born, but not my family is originally from the city of Jaffa. How many of you have been to Israel, in the Holy Land? The rest of you who haven't been there, I just want you to know your faith is not complete yet. If you believe that, you'll believe anything. No, I'm just joking. But really, I went home back to the States and I came to Karen and I said, "Honey, I believe the Lord is calling us to Gaza." He said, "Honey, He didn't call me." I said, "Good." I said, "Good." And eventually the Lord spoke to her and we both went to Gaza. One of the darkest places you'll ever see. But you know, the darker it gets, the lighter, the more powerful God's light is. The work was not easy. It was tough. Dealing with Hamas is not a very easy thing, especially when they discovered that I was converted from Islam to Christianity. They were not happy campers. They came after me. But luckily, God is in control. I was in the States when they attacked all of our facilities that we've started in the 2 years when we were there and destroyed everything. And then we went to Jericho. And we started in Jericho again. Friends, when the Lord speaks to us, most of the time through the word, maybe not exactly the same word, but something relates to the word. I was speaking one day at a church, at a group, businessmen group, and two guys are sitting next to each other, right near the pulpit where I was speaking, and the two of them were talking. "What is this terrorist doing coming to speak to us?" Especially was right after September 11th. The American blood was very, very high. "What is this terrorist doing?" And I was beginning to teach them on the grace of God. So I opened my Bible to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1:12, to be exact. It said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me trustworthy, appointing me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith that and love that are in Christ Jesus." And I looked up, and these guys were in tears. Friends, do I deserve to be standing in this pulpit to share with you the message this morning? Far from it. As a person, as I am who I am without the grace of God, I don't deserve that. But I'm so grateful the grace of God was poured out on me abundantly. When I look at this, it was so comforting to me to see what the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy. It was comforting to me to believe that it is, yes, that God would save people like myself. And it was comforting. These guys that were talking, they came running, hugging, and asking forgiveness. Praise God for the peace that was given to me at the time to believe that God is worthy and God is able and God would make changes. Many of us, you know, my testimony and how I was saved, and I'll be sharing some of that here today, but later on today in the message, in the teaching, we're going to be sharing more of that. But friends, all of us who are saved are also worthy. It doesn't matter how we are saved because of the grace of God, one way or another. The Apostle Paul, if we look at who the Apostle Paul was, and what he did, we will find that he was a terrorist himself. Realistically speaking, he went out looking for believers in Jesus and killing them. In the terminology of terrorism, he was a terrorist. But God found him on the way and spoke to him, and his life was changed. And I praise God, you know, I continuously praise God and thank God for His grace and His mercy that He found me. Because of what I have done in my life, I was an assassin. I was a person who are hunting down people that my leaders wanted killed. And I study their life. They get to know themselves. I get to know them more than they know themselves. And that's begun to be very heavy. As a fighter in the battlefield, I don't see the people. But as an assassin, I study them. I know them. I know their family. I know where their kids are. That began to be so heavy on my heart, I could not continue. After several operations, I decided, no, I can't do this. So I decided I want to get some education. Maybe if I get more education, I can fight with my brain instead of my weapon. I still had the burden for our homeland. I still want my family to go back to their homeland in Jaffa. But there had to be a better way, a different way. And God's way today made it for me that I am back in that land. I praise God, and I praise God for America, that gave me the opportunity to hold a passport, an American passport, that gives me the power to enter the land, the Holy Land, as an American citizen. Whereas a Palestinian passport or a Jordanian passport, there would be no way for me to enter that land. No way. But because of this great nation that gave me the opportunity to be able to go and enter that country as a friend of Israel, not as an enemy of Israel. as a friend of Israel and begin the ability to serve there to bring peace between Arabs and Jews. We are called to be the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And that is why I am so driven. My wife and I and my daughter, you met my daughter Farah, some of you, we are all driven, and our son, for that purpose. We have no other purpose but to bring that peace. I came to America in 1974. Honestly, I didn't know how and why I was so drawn to come to America. I had no idea. I hated Americans and America just as much as I hated the Jews. No offense. I love America and American people. Before that, I hated it. But I was so drawn to come to America. How did I get a visa to come to America? That was a miracle by itself. Because I was on the wanted list by the Jordanian government. I tried to assassinate the Crown Prince of Jordan. And so I was on the wanted list, big time. And I went to the American embassy to apply for a citizenship, for a visa. And they wanted a certificate of good conduct from the government that I hold a passport with, which is Jordan at the time. I knew that was not going to happen. But I did apply. Of course, they wanted me to go to Jordan. And I know if I went there, there's no way I'll be out of there alive. So I went to the American embassy to take my passport, basically to take it and forget about it, try somewhere else. I go to the embassy, and the lady at the counter said, "My name is Abu Sada. I'd like to have my passport, please." She said, "Yes, Mr. Abu Sada, welcome, welcome. Here's your passport. You have 5 years multiple entry visa on your passport. Go have good time in America." And I'm looking at them. I got the passport. I ran before they changed their mind. And I'm looking at my passport, and oh, wow, they did give me a visa. Now, if that is not a miracle, I don't know what is. Now, when President Trump is trying to control all of this and bidding any people before they come here, I understand what he's saying. I was able to get in. I understand what he's saying. I agree with him. So I come to America and I go to a little town, college town called Columbia, Missouri. I go to Columbia, Missouri, and I'm looking from the top down, and it is white below there. I thought, wow, these people have white sand here. Not knowing until I landed and came out, I was wearing a short-sleeve shirt. Columbia or the Midwest at the time had an ice storm. So that was my first surprise in America. Well, I was in Columbia, Missouri for a couple of months, and people are treating me kindly, accepting me. Never called me an immigrant and refugee like I was called in Saudi Arabia and in Qatar. That was so comforting to me. So different not to be called an immigrant and refugee. It was painful for me to be hearing that. After the ice melted, there is nice and green there. I thought, wow, they don't have sand here. So I decided I wanted to live in this country. What would be the best way to stay in America? They said to marry an American girl. But that's easy. That's not a problem. So I went hunting for an American girl. If you want to see the best and the most beautiful green card, you know what green card is? Papers in America? That's what she looks like right here. Honey, stand up. My wife, Karen, please. Yes, my intentions were not honorable. My intention was to marry my wife, Karen, 2, maybe 3 years at the most, get my papers in America, and then say goodbye. But thank God, he had better plans than mine. She's still my wife 43 years later. We just celebrated our 43rd anniversary right here in your wonderful country a few days ago. And so it's really, for me, it's amazing that I have she lasted with me that long. My father, when he found out I married an American girl, he said, okay, you marry an American girl, no more money from us. You feed your American wife. I was stuck. I had no experience, no knowledge, other than weapons and explosives. Thank God I didn't know the American mafia at the time. But I found a job at a French restaurant. What I'm sharing with you here right now, friends, is to show how the grace of God and how he works through our life without us even knowing. I had no idea. I had no idea. I should have been dead so many times in the battlefield, whether it's in the battlefield or in car accidents. I destroyed so many cars and I came out of it without a scratch. Why? Because God had a plan. A plan that I am here today to share with you about the grace of God and how he can change a human being like myself. I found a job as a dishwasher at a French restaurant. And I worked hard. I spoke a little French. The French couple that owned the restaurant liked me very much. And they started teaching me all kinds of things, teach me to cook French food. And the wife wanted to teach me how to serve in the dining room. Now, God is bringing me into a next level. I go to the dining room, and I am nervous. It's a 5-star restaurant, was rated one of the top 25 restaurants in America. I'm wearing in a tuxedo and bow tie, And I go to my first customer. I am so nervous, my hands are shaking. This American man sitting at that table in his mid-60s is looking at me with such a beautiful smile. He knew I was nervous. And he said, thank you, young man. I said, wow. I mean, I was really surprised. This rich man is thanking his servant. This is unheard of in the Middle East. We don't thank our servants. We have used them. Shamefully, I say. That touched my heart. I made a decision. I'm going to take good care of this man every time he comes. You never know how you're going to impact a person in a restaurant or somewhere and you thank them. You never know. That thank you captured my heart. Charlie is his name. Charlie Sharp. He just passed away in February of this year at the same age, 89. Was my mentor. Was my father. Charlie began to build a relationship with me. Didn't know why. I found out Charlie is a multi-billionaire, not just a millionaire, a very wealthy man. But yet, he was treating me as an equal person. Here I am, a busboy. Then I become a waiter. Then I was a captain. Then I become a manager to that, managing the French restaurant within 2 years. Am I that smart? Not really. God had a hand in it. Charlie was very intrigued. Wow, this foreign boy. I spoke very little English. When I proposed to my wife, I didn't know how to propose to her. I had a friend just write it in my hand. After she talked, you know, I got her number, and I was calling her every day for 3 days. She would talk for 3 or 4 hours, and I did not understand 95% of what she was saying. Until the third day, when she finished 4 hours talking, I'm just saying, yeah. And then I said, please marry me. I'm reading it. She said, man, you're crazy. We just met 3 days ago. I said, it's okay, marry me. Of course, she didn't agree. But I didn't give up. I kept after her. Is it a coincidence that I meet Karen at a nightclub and I ask her for a dance and she turns me down 3 times? Second time, I thought she was blind or something. It's not a coincidence, friends. God has plans in our lives. So, I leave that French restaurant and I go to work in the hotel industry, and I become very successful in the hotel and restaurant industry, in the hospitality industry. How God orchestrates this. I was in California, Charlie in Kansas City, but yet he kept in contact with me. He kept in touch. 19 years, he never said a word to me about his God. You thought, wow, he's a patient man. Yeah, he was a patient man, but he loved me because of the love of Christ that was in him. You see, Charlie was not really walking with Christ. But before, Charlie was a pastor. He pastored a church. And then he had a situation with his wife, and she walked away from him, and they were divorced, and he left the church and went into the business world, and then God poured it out on him. I don't know how and why. But he became very successful in the insurance business. But you know, after I studied the Bible, I realized that Charlie was really have characters of Christ in him. Even though he was not really talking to me in a spiritual way, he had Christ characters in him. We might leave God, but God never leaves us. And that's what I fell in love with Charlie, is his characters. Jesus' characters that was in him. 19 years go by. And the owners of the French restaurant wanting to sell the restaurant. They called us to buy it. I'm sure I want to buy it. That's my baby. So I went back to buy it. But we didn't want to leave it in the same rental property that it was. I wanted to buy our own building. So I was looking for a location. Charlie, being a big businessman, he was so excited. He came and he said, Tas, I found the right place for you. I said, oh yeah? I said, where? He told me where it was. I went to the same building just 3 days before. That building was an old funeral home that shut down. When I walked in there, as a Muslim walking in there, I am terrified. Islam teaches me when you go to places where there is dead people, there is demons and ghosts in them. So I was scared when I walked in there. I said, Charlie, I was in that building just 3 days ago, and man, when I walked in there, I was so terrified. I felt creeps all over the place. He laughed at me. And for the first time in 19 years, he brings up the subject of God. He said, Tas, you know why you were scared like that? Then no, why? He said, because you don't have the fear of God in you. Charlie, I'm a Muslim. I fear God. He said, no, you don't. But not to worry. He said, I can help you that. I can fix it. With such a confidence, he points his finger to the sky and he says, I have connection. I laughed at him. Said, yeah, sure. Apparently, Charlie recommitted his life to the Lord. And I did not really know. He recommitted his life to the Lord, and that moment when he said, I have a connection, this word connection, he spoke to me. You remember thanking me 19 years earlier, capturing my heart? Now he's capturing my mind with a word connection. What is this connection? You see, friends, God does not waste his time with his people. Everything that we do in this life makes a difference for good or for bad. God did not waste that word connection. Captured me. Thinking, what is this connection? I keep thinking, Charlie, called Charlie and what is this connection? And he said, oh, you're not quite ready yet. You're not quite ready yet. You're not quite ready yet. 3 weeks got to the point where I could not eat. I could not sleep. I used to smoke. I went up to six packets of cigarette a day. I was like a chimney. That word connection troubled me so much. I was so desperate to know Charlie's connection. I thank God for Charlie's wisdom to know when it is God's time to move on a person. I thank God for his wisdom to see me through all that time. Amazing God. Amazing God. Hallelujah. When we come back together, I'll share the rest of the story. I'm just so excited. I have never been so excited in my life until 23 years ago when I came to know Jesus. When I found the truth. Friends, the truth set me free. Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord. You are an awesome God. Amazing God. A merciful God. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for bringing me to this place, this church, with my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I pray for this church, Lord, to continue to be a light for the communities around it. Use your people, Lord. Draw my people to your kingdom, Lord. Use your word to the people to come to know you. I will always thank you and praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.